lower, so higher income is correlated with less schooling. So it leads to a downward bias with the estimation of the coefficient B. And another uncertainty problem is the measurement error of bias. In that case, it's always a downward bias. And the last bias that can arise is an omission gap. Income can be correlated with a variable that is included in the disturbance T, which is then included, correlated with the variable S, or outcome variable. And one example, rich people in developing countries can live in areas with better schools. So the shadow cost of schooling is lower, and as a result, the incentive to school their children is higher. So they will school their children, and this will be correlated with income. So in that case, we have an upward bias. So we can have downward bias, upward bias, and in the end, the estimated B, thanks to the econometrics, will differ from the two coefficients this star. So the first solution that exists in the literature is to include controlling variables, parental education supplied here, between income and disturbance MP. Or another solution is to instrument, to resort to instrument table variables. This is what I call IV. Instrument is to regress income on a variable that provides an exogenous change in income. And so the variable, the instrument, must be correlated with income, but mustn't be correlated with schooling to another channel than income. In other words,
if you have a variable that impacts income, then it impacts schooling. So this variable mustn't impact G and then schooling.
Or in that case, we will have what we call weak instruments. Weak instruments is a problem that has been raised by a paper by Bond and Yeager in 1995. And so we need to be very careful about that. In the past results in literature and education, well, in developed countries, they found the small positive or nil effect of income. Well, this is logical because mostly in developed countries, education is free, so income does not matter. But in developing countries, education is not free, or education is free, but you must pay for your supplies. And in that case, income may matter. So this is why we plan to find a very high positive effect of income on schooling and health in developing countries. Regarding health now, there is what we call the health gradient, meaning that the health of children is influenced by the income of parents. And this result is found in developed countries as well as developing countries. And this literature is also related to literature on the direct impact of income shocks as a result of insurance missing markets. And it's also related to the literature on the impact of income volatility, meaning that if your income changes a lot by the past, you will be more risk-averse. And since education is a risk investment, you may say, no, I'm afraid I don't invest in education. So, no, I would describe our natural experiment, which is what we call when we say in econometrics, when we use history and in Ivory Coast. So I work in Ivory Coast, and it was the first cocoa producing country in the world. And the cocoa, international cocoa price rate increase and decrease according to the law of supply and demand. But within Ivory Coast, there was a fixed product price by the state. The aim of it was to create a stabilization fund. For instance, when the international cocoa price is very high, we fix a price that is, a national price that is lower, just to save money, and then we use this money when international prices are low. And during the 1980s, there has been a fall in international cocoa prices, and in 1990, the state, the Ivorian state, for the first time in 25 years, decided the diminution in the national cocoa price of price. So it was an unexpected change in price, And it has created an unexpected change in income for the part of the population, the cocoa producers. In 1994 and 1997, there has been increase in this price because international cocoa prices were getting better. So, the conclusion is that we have a strong decrease in income for cocoa producers, and we can use this decrease in income for cocoa producers as a way to show if income plays on education and schooling investments. So, what are the data we use? We have three waves, one wave in 1988, one wave in 1993, and one wave in 1998. And I have plotted the national fixed producer price of cocoa. And as you can see, I have a dot,
before and after 33. But I have a dot before and after the negative shock. And then I have a dot before and after the positive shock. So we can use that to see whether income pay on education and health. Actually, we have a problem with the 1998 sample, so we only work on the 1988 and 1993 samples. So this is what we call difference in different IG strategy. This is an instrument table strategy to the extent that we instrument income, meaning that we regret income on an exogenous variable that is called the instrument. But within the first-stage equation, we use different and different strategies. In other words, what we see that because of the prices, because of the fall in the price, cocoa households are more affected than non-cocoa households, meaning that they have relatively less income in 1993 versus 1988. So we think that their children have had relatively less education and health investment in 1993 versus 1988. So the econometric specification is to instrument income with belonging to cocoa producing households in 1993 versus 1988. And there are other examples of such strategies, Duflo and Chen, for example. So this is the model we use. So for child Y in household age in village B at time T.
So this is the outcome variable, for example, education or health. And we match it to the second variable. This is the main variable that we're interested in, it's income Y. And except that this time we include debt. And that is a set of instruments. Both are exogenous instruments. And here the exogenous instruments are the first one is belonging to the cocoa household in 1993. The second one is belonging to the cocoa household in 1998. So this is a different view of cocoa in 1993, cocoa in 1998. So this is what is called a different time. So here, what is very important is that debt also has to impact income, the rest of the education income. At the same time, debt does not be correlated with income, so that it doesn't be correlated with schooling. So that it doesn't be correlated with schooling, so another channel than income here. So this is very important, or in that case, in that we can do. So, here is it. Okay. Do you have any questions now because
next, I use two samples. I use two special samples. First I work on the global sample in Ivory Coast and then I work on the tourist sample here because it's mainly the cocoa region, but it doesn't matter a lot to write us about it. The first limitation is that we need to have parallel trends, meaning that we want to be sure that before 1988, cultural authors and non-cultural authors would act the same way. I mean, they invested the same way in education, and they invested the same way in health. So that it guarantees that non-cultural authors that equally modify their human capital investment decision is that take the same income change that cultural authors. Because here we use a different strategy. But it's very important that the treatment group and the control group are very similar. Because if they are not similar, we're contaminating the analysis. So here, the control group we use is made up of non-cultural farmers. So we're comparing, in a way, cultural farmers and non-cultural farmers. So we're including urban workers, for example. We try to homogenize the treatment and control group. So now we show, characteristics in general, which is the case. I mean, usually differences are not significant or they're significant, but very little compared to the mean. So since I'm a good class, I will pass on it. Then we show the same thing about child labor, child schooling. Abandon is the child does not work and does not go to school. In that case, we show that so-called and non-so-called also do not act differently, so they have the same preferences towards education, child labor, and so on. This is the 8 for each score. 8 is important in economics because we show that 8 is a kind of representation of past investments in nutrition and health. So if your result today means that your parents invested in you in the past. And we use the Z-score is the way of things diving across ages, sex, and countries. So here, Z-score equal to zero means that you're equal to the average American child. And if you have a Z-score equal to -2, it means that you have experienced a growth failure by the past, meaning that you have been malnourished and so on. So here, we see the top and non-top also have the same distribution. So both groups are rather similar, so it's quite comforting. The second problem could be a change in supply. I mean, in cocoa, in some villages, there are a lot of cocoa prices. In both villages, the collective income has decreased because of the sum of decrease in this individual income. So because of the fall in income, of collective income, village income, it is possible that public goods are not funded anymore. So that the quantity and quality of school has decreased, for example. It's very important to control for supply across periods. This is what we do by increasing village time fixed effects. The third problem could be geographical migration. When we worked on the first sample, some people could have left between 1993 and 1988. Well, this is not the case, so because the share of the forest sample remains the same across herds, so this is quite comforting. The fourth problem, which is the biggest problem, could be professional migration. I mean, for example, if you're a cocoa producer in 1990 and that you see that the fall in the price of cocoa, you say, well, I see a fall in the price of cocoa. Cocoa is not profitable anymore, I quit cocoa. And the people who quit cocoa production may quit cocoa production for specific reasons. Here.
But imagine that some people that were cocoa before have become non-cocoa in 1993, and that changed because of factors that we did not account for. Many of those factors are correlated with you and then with quitting. So here, this and this, that being a cocoa producer in 1993 correlated with enough variable factors that is interconnected with you that is interconnected with that. So it's very important that we have no professional migration. And indeed, here, when we look at the share of the cocoa also in the global sample, it's around the same between 1998 and 1993. It's around 20% of the population. So now people have switched from non-cocoa to non-cocoa. So, again, we believe our story, and moreover, cocoa trees only mature after 5 or 10 years, and they may be productive after 30 years. So people, if they are investing in cocoa in the short term, they will remain cocoa producers. So the fifth problem is that are we sure that all we think, all the change in cooling is attributable to a change in income?
And we could think that, for example, because of the change in crypto prices, crypto prices face tighter borrowing constraints, or maybe that change their return to education. But what is important is that their expected return to education or their borrowing constraints have not differentially changed between 1993 and 1998 compared to the control group made up of non-cocoa households. But what we think is it is unlikely to be the case because, first, when you borrow money to a banker or money lender in a village in Africa, you need assets or social capital. So your borrowing constraint is not dependent on your future income, but on what you have got today. And regarding return to education, people in villages in Africa invest in education so that their children work in industry or services. So a change in price in cocoa prices does not differentially affect the expected return to education of the cocoa households in 1993 versus 1998 compared to non-cocoa households. So what I think in the end is that all the changes in schooling is attributable to a change in income. So now I present the results for school attendance, health status, and anthropometric status. So here, so I present the results for children aged from 5 to 17, and children aged from 5 to 11, and I present the regression for the global sample and the forest sample. Each time I present the coefficients, the p-value, the R-squared, and the IDSTAT. The IDSTAT is a test that is provided with on SATA. The model we use is called XCI-2, and it allows to test whether there are weak instruments, whether our identification strategy is bad. And here the lead hypothesis is that there are weak instruments. And here we want that the F statistic, the IDSTAT, is higher than the theoretical F statistic in parentheses, and it's always the case, so we're confident that we have ended strong instruments. So here I present the results for OLS within meaning with village scientific effects, IV within, and IV within cut controls. We want to see whether IV within results are relevant to the inclusion of controls or not, so that it's a further check of the validity of our identification strategy.
So here is what we call a linear log model, because we get the linear probability on the log variable that is the log of first and second system. Yes, I didn't say that before, but instead of income, we use per capita consumption for the income measure, because it's much more representative of the of what we call permanent income. When income is contaminated by saving and so on, where consumption is less contaminated by saving and so on. So here, we need to divide the coefficient by 10 to get the interpretation of the coefficient. So here it means that the 10% increase in income leads to 1 point increase in the price of the size of school. So once we take into account education of the size, the coefficient is lower, but not so much. If we use IV, we have a much higher coefficient. There is a 10% increase in personal income, leads to a 7-point increase in the likelihood to be schooled. And papers in the literature to stop them. They show, oh, we have OLS, and then we have IV, and IV are much higher than OLS, and but so on. But what we think is that we need to control for educational supply as well. And this is what we do here, because we're one of the first papers to make instrumentable variables and village scientific effects, actually. So here in that case, the coefficient is lower. It remains higher than OLS, but it's lower than ID. And in that case, the 10% increase in parental income leads to a 3-point increase in the product likelihood to be schooled. So this is not a much bigger increase. But it is an increase, and it shows that OLS are general deaths. And we need to control for educational supply, and we need to be sure that the instruments are not weak.
no equivalent result for aesthetics. Aesthetics means that the likelihood have been taken the last now. And here's the result, the coefficient is around zero. Here, the problem is that the rich people in developing countries, in Africa in particular, the rich people over-report that the children are sick. I mean, they're quite what we call hypochondriac. They say, oh, my child is maybe a sick kid, so it's sick. But poor people in Africa, well, they're suffering, so they say, we're suffering, so we will not start complaining, no. So our child is not sick, and then even if they appear sick, is not sick. So they under-report. And we need, this is something that is not controlled for with oil, so we need to control it with IV. This is what we do, and we can turn directly to IV within here, a 10% increase in income leads to a 2-point decrease in the likelihood to be sick. So we thought that being ill was not influenced by income, actually it is influenced by income. And the last result is on anthropometric outcomes, and the results are much better for children aged from 3 to 5.
Why is that so? Because when we were babies, we're almost all equal. But after 2 or 3 years of taking them, there is a kind of divergence between the children of 4 people and the children of 3 children. In that case, the age of rich
children is within higher. And indeed, this is the case here. Because income,
the effect of income on
the test for such increase in income leads to almost a nil impact on the likelihood to have been malnourished. But if we look at IV results here, a 10% increase in income leads to a 6-point decrease in the likelihood to have been malnourished by the fat. So this is a strong impact. So now we would like to conclude. A 10% increase in parental income leads to a 2.3-point increase in likelihood to attend school for children aged from 5 to 17, a 6-point decrease in the likelihood that a three to five-year-old child is malnourished, and a 1.8-2-point reduction is the probability that the 0-18-year-old child is sick. So now our contribution in just 2 minutes, OLS has done work yet, indeed, in low-developed countries. And so this is different in low-developed countries than in developed countries. And this is relevant to the inclusion of village tactics effect, so to relevant to within, and it's not due to wage instruments. And the question is why? Because most theoretical models in economics, maybe the models that are Baker, Gary Baker or Mincer, they show that usually there is an upward bias in developed countries. In particular, there is an upward ability bias. More able parents are more educated and they have a higher income, and if they are more able, they will have more able children, so children will be more cool, and more income is correlated with more schooling. So in that case, we have an upward bias. The fact is that in developing countries, we have simultaneity because many children still work, in Africa, and we have middle material related to general debt, and lastly, we can have emission deficits. And for example, rich people in African villages in Africa, they may say, I'm rich, I don't want my children to mix with poor children in those schools. So I prefer that my children stay at home with me. Another example is that rich people in Africa, they have firms, they have farms, businesses, and they may say, well, I don't need my children to go to school. Maybe I can teach them myself what they need to run the family business. So they don't want their children to go to school. The second point is that our paper is related to the literature on imperfect credit and insurance market. And lastly, we're one of the first papers to actually address the child-related health demand. I mean, there have been many papers on education demand, but almost non-paper on health demand in developing countries. So now I thank you, and if you have any questions or comments, please.
Okay, thank you very much. I think that the fact that parental income has some effect on the investment of the children in terms of school and health is not surprising. But I think that the strong point of this paper may be that because he tried to very carefully study the effect of it, try to estimate unbiased effect of it. So I think now we open to questions. Anyone would like to? Yes.
I'm leaving soon, so I need to ask your questions.
Yeah,
I have two questions. Your model estimation is using different indices, right? And also using IV. It's quite new that I don't know that then if the IV is a regular IV, a strong IV, then I think the IV could fix the bias problem. And now I'm not sure that if the instrument is also weak,
yeah,
then I'm not quite sure that the DID can totally fix the problem.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Right. So, authority, a difference in different strategy is useful if instruments, as you say, are not weak.
Right.
And this is what we try to show. We try to show that indeed instruments are uncorrelated with the LSM used here in the equation. So in that case, if we can show that it's uncorrelated with you, we have weak instruments, and in that case, different strategy can be useful.
Right.
And in that case, we tried many checks in the paper, and I tried to present some very fastly. And moreover, was the test, the weak instrument test that is provided by XTI-Direct to the model we use on Stata.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a test that has been constructed by Sok and Yelbo in 2005 by a paper from the National Bureau of Economic Research, and they show that we can construct a test to show if we have weak instruments or not.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed we believe that we don't have weak instruments.
Yeah. My second question is, have you tried a random effect? Because you have a fixed village time effect, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think this model probably, because the children is you test in 1980 and 1993.
Mm-hmm.
The 5-year-old children at 1988 is not the same person as 5-year-old in children in 1993. So probably it's not.
Yeah, you're right. The third question is about random effects.
Right. I'm talking about the random
effects. The problem is that random effects is useful. School supply is not correlated with the X variables or the income variables. But if it is correlated, then we have fixed effects.
Right.
Have you tested? No, we don't have fixed effects. You're right. But what we can show is that here, for example, the second column, on the village context effect, the coefficient is changed. So it shows that indeed, food supply is correlated with income. So in that case, we could think, yes, it's correlated with income, so we have fixed effects instead of. And regarding the fact that we're not studying the same population,
right.
It's not standard data, it's cross-section data, and as you say, we have the 0-5-year children. So actually, our study is right, and this is a problem. And we'll try to think carefully about that, but we don't know if it is really consequential for estimates or not. We don't know yet, actually. It could be, so you're right. So, I need to think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Anyone would like to ask any questions? Susan, would you like to ask any questions? Done. Okay, in that case, I have some problem with the result, table.
Which table?
Which one?
Okay.
The result.
Okay.
Seem like you just explained in the case of for all, right? You didn't try to compare the result of all with the forest.
Yeah.
Yes.
In your opinion, do you think that with the forest will be maybe the result will be more precise or what?
Actually,
to me, it's quite similar.
Right. It's quite similar, and it's surprising because we're not estimating the same coefficient, the same population, and the coefficient D that we estimate is dependent upon the sample we use. If you see what I mean, maybe the first sample is made up of poor people, and maybe for poor people the coefficient is higher. But in that case, we have the same results. But you're right that But in that case here, in the old sample, we'll take into account other people as well. So for the people, the coefficient is non-linear, maybe. The coefficient of the effect of income is non-linear. So if you take a poor sample, maybe you will have a different coefficient. In that case, we have the same coefficient, which is, we don't know why, but maybe it's composing. But you were right to say that coefficients are more precisely estimated in the case of the forest. At the same time, the F-stat statistic is much higher in the case of the forest than in the case of the global sample. And we tried to know why, and we did not explain that. So this is one of the shortcomings of the paper, which we must know why the precision is improved by working the forest sample. Well, you're right. At the same time, maybe because we work in the first sample, we have less village scientific effects. Because here we have only maybe 306 effects, and here in the global sample we have 806 effects. And 6 effects are very consuming in standard of the road. So it could be the explanation.
Another remark is...
Sure.
So how come that is not that effect at all? I will describe the control I use.
There is a dummy equal one is a household chef is a woman. Literate as a chief primary cooling spent at least 1 year secondary cooling. As obtained the BPC is a diploma that you obtain at the end of secondary cooling. As obtained the bachelor is a diploma you obtain at the end of high school. Dummy equal one is a household on the livestock business as a household member being a civil servant. The ratio of extended family over also size, the ratio of extended family, in Africa there is a lot of polygyny, one man and many women, many wives. So we need to control for that as well, and the share of women in the household. So we include all those controls, and indeed, well, the coefficient is not as much. Here, a 10% increase in income leads to a 3-point increase in the likelihood to the school, or a 2-3 point increase in the life, which is not a big difference. And the explanation is that, actually it's very comforting for us because, let me find the number here. Okay. Usually,
here is what the instrument says. And if the instrument is for strategies of paying, the instrument must not be correlated with you. So if we have good instruments, we have a change in income, but it's not correlated with an unpreserved factor, something that we don't see as an economic issue. And that will be correlated with food. Maybe that we don't have control here, but it's quite possible that it's dead, so the instrument is correlated with product education, and then correlated with food. So in that case, it will be a problem for us. So we try to see whether this is an approval or not, change the results or not. So it is a kind of test for identification static. And indeed, by including the so-called graph of variables, not including them, the coefficient of income is not changing much. So it means that the instrument is not correlated with you.
It's a better sense of the way these instruments are
That answer your question or not?
The result still surprised me a bit because the control whatever, for example, the education of the chief, of the head, of
yeah.
household, and so on and so forth.
Yes, exactly.
Usually those whatever in some of the estimates that I have seen, usually those whatever have a lot of effect on the schooling.
Yes.
For example, if the chief has some kind of occupation that needs some kind of education, they usually tend to invest in the children because they see the importance of education and so on. But in your study here, it seemed to me that all the effects work through the income variable, not through other variables, which I
This is just
a remark.
Yeah, no,
it might be true for this Ivory Coast, but in other countries, sometimes you know the effect doesn't only work through income, but work through the occupation or education of the head as well.
Yeah, you're right. No, actually, I completely agree with you. I mean, income. What I want to know is that income is correlated with parental education. You know, sometimes the richer people in the society are also the most educated people in the society, which is the case in the United States, for example. And what we want just the impact of income, not the impact of income correlated with with parental education, for example. So we try to see whether income has an impact, an individual impact, that will not be created through parental education. But in our results, parental education plays a lot. It has a huge effect on schooling, but I don't show these results because I'm very interested in income. So I completely agree with you. I mean, parental education matters. But the problem is that in econometrics, we want to see the sole impact of income, not the impact on income that will be created with education. You see what I mean? Yeah.
It's about the variable on health status.
Yep.
On page 37. It seems to be questionable about this binary variable of health status of being 1 and 0, 1 for being sick,
yep.
and 0 for being well.
Yep.
So I'm wondering if it's possible to have, like, instead of binary variable, we have like 5 scale or something like that, like
sure.
well or you know indifferent
yeah.
and very well.
Close to death.
Is it better because this result seems to be non-robust to me?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it would be better to have 5 different scales and test whether very highly ill, medium ill, low ill, etc. But the problem is that in econometrics we use data and SAS softwares. And there doesn't exist any program, statistical program, etc. that can do a multinomial model as you propose, with ID, with difference in difference, with time, village time fixed effects. So we're using village time fixed effects, instrument table variable, and binary probit model. But, we can do as you say if we're able to create both models. No one has ever tried to create both models on Stata. So maybe one day there will be a processor and we'll click on the button and we'll be okay at the time. So you're right. I mean, it will be better.
But is the problem from the data itself? Is that?
No, it's not a problem from the data. It's a problem
from the
software.
Oh, I see.
I mean, we don't have enough technical... technically intense.
And in your paper, you only use linear probability model.
Yes, exactly.
Have you tried other that, logistic logic model or
yeah.
probit model?
Well, the problem is that when we try to do probit or logistic model with IV, again, it's a technical problem of Stata. We don't have the processors that can allow us to do IV results and probit or logistic and include village time fixed effects. Because in that case, to run the model on Stata takes around 3 or 4 hours, maybe 5 hours. It's very long. I mean, I used to work in the 50s, so we thought it would be better and much time saving to do only dinner probably tomorrow. But we were one or two mother, it lasted around 4 hours, just to confirm the original would be the same. Yeah, but you're right. It would be maybe better.
Any more questions? No. If not, I think we thank you very much for you to spend time and present your interesting paper to us. I think this might give the students some ideas of how to do a good dissertation or thesis.
Yes,
okay. Let us give him the
thank you
very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yeah. have a lot of favorites. No, you know, we are not extending the economic model of the present
distribution.
Right. Very comfortable.
Yeah.
Do you like the Minnesota?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like some PhD programs here. But not Minnesota. So right now we're getting
Thank you.